Children for Children's Church. You know, it's probably the desire of most of us to serve the Lord with our life. But it doesn't always work out that way. Jesus had some very explicit instructions for the devil, who was tempting him at the time of his temptation. And the results are what I believe we all want, and what we all seek. We will find that written in Matthew 4, verses 10 and 11. Matthew 4, verses 10 and 11. Tell us, then saith Jesus to him, talking to the devil, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." When Jesus reminded the devil of what God had said in his written word, the Bible tells us that the devil departed from him. This is so important that two of his disciples, when they saw this take place, wrote about it in their epistles. There's a little difference in the way they give the detail, but it's basically the same thing. We read Matthew. Luke 4, verse 8 is the same incident, and Dr. Luke is writing about this. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Him only shalt thou serve. Now you can clearly see that Matthew recorded this when he heard it, and Luke evidently recorded this also in his gospel. Both Matthew and Luke were tuned in to this part of discipleship, and they thought it was important enough to share it with us, with those who would come after them. Their writings were a little different, but the message was the same. Well, there's one other thing that Jesus said that they both wanted us to know. He was astute of them to make mention of this. The truth of this next statement is totally undeniable. Matthew recorded it in Matthew 6, 24, when he told us, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon." What that means is you cannot serve God and man. It's going to be one or the other. Both men recorded exactly the same statement they are made by our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke and Luke 16, 13. These statements help explain the problem that Christians have from the time they first got saved on that day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon all of them, until our present age, we still all have the same problem. Now, I cannot speak for you personally. I can only speak for myself. I know that I want to serve the Lord all the time. I want to, but I don't. I want to do exactly what He wants me to do. I want to be exactly what He wants me to be. But I find that there are times that I do things that I don't want to do. I get involved in sin, and these statements that Matthew and Luke have shared explain it. It's my intention to let the Lord be Lord of my life. But I seem to want to live my life the way I want to live it much of the time. Jesus is supposed to be Lord of my life, and He is supposed to be Lord of your life. At the time that you gave your heart and your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's why we call Him Lord. He is supposed to be Lord of our life. Let's start by looking at one of the servants that were recorded in the scriptures. One of the servants of the Lord, and that would be the Apostle Paul. When Paul was a prisoner being transported to Rome, he and the people on the ship with him, 276 souls, got into a storm. For days, they tried to manage the ship while it was driven up and down, back and forth in the sea. And finally, Paul told them after 2 weeks that he had been told that night by an angel of the Lord that if they stayed in the ship, they would be okay. Paul made a unique statement in convincing the soldiers who were assigned to guard the prisoners, of which he was one, that everything was going to be well with them. Paul said, we find it in Acts 27:23 says, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve." Think about that situation. Paul was one of the many prisoners being taken to Rome, and he was advising the guards about what God was going to do. Sounds a little bit like the prison at Matamoros, where the inmates run the prison. I think that most of us have a problem that we don't even acknowledge, because we don't realize what a great problem it may be to us. One of the things that made Vietnam so difficult was the fact that we didn't know who the enemy was. The enemy could have been a little boy, 6 years old, and many times it was, with explosives strapped to his back. And when he would get among the soldiers, it would blow him. We didn't know who the enemy was, but you and I have an enemy. We all have an enemy. Whether or not you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you still have an enemy. God's word refers to it in Romans 7:25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Our flesh is the problem. Our flesh can sometimes be our greatest enemy. Skip Wilson used to say, the comedian used to say, the devil made me do it. You know, that statement is not actually true. As a general rule, actually, you and I want whatever the sin is that we want to do. And so we arrange things so that we can accomplish the sin, whatever kind of sin it is. And we do it because we take control. The Lord is no longer in control of our spirit at that point. Oh, we're still saved. We're still a child of God. But this flesh you and I live in is strong. We've been in it ever since our birth, even before our birth. And so it many times exercises authority over what we're doing. That's a problem. Problem for all of us. Because we're not supposed to be in control. We gave our soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. We accepted his atonement for our sin. And we're supposed to be letting him be Lord of our life. When we make our plans, shouldn't we be making them prayerfully and following the leading of God's Holy Spirit? We don't always do that. At least I don't. I think I may have just touched on one of my problems. Have you ever thought about your own appetites and desires? I've tried to analyze my motives or motivations for the things that I do. I've found that I'm a very physical animal. I like physical things. Things that I can touch, or smell, or taste. And because those things are physical, there are times when I put the physical things ahead of spiritual things. I'm suspicious that that was part of Paul's problems. Let's look at his problem and see if we can learn anything. Now, the Apostle Paul is probably the best example of a Christian, of what a Christian should be. But Paul, who wrote a good deal of the New Testament, gives us the best insight that we will find in God's Word about ourselves. It's a rather lengthy passage, but I think we should all be striving for it. Turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verses 8 through 17. Bobby taught us this a few months ago. And Paul has written this to the church at Rome. And he says in Romans chapter 7, verses 8 through 17, but taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me, all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. That means that Paul was alive one time before he was saved, he thought. But when the commandment came, sin revived. Once he came under the commandments, he was not able to keep them, and he sinned. Sin revived, and I died. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which was good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin working death in me by that which was good, that sin, by it might appear sin, okay, might this, but sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, and I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For that which I would not, do not. Those are the things I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Just for the record, I've been reading the Bible for more than 50 years. I used to think that that passage was just about the Apostle Paul. But as I looked at that passage, I was looking in the mirror. The person I was looking at has exactly the same problem. Now, you may think about this, and you may think, hey, maybe that's my problem. It wasn't until I thought to myself, that sounds like my problem, that I seem to be having from time to time. Then it hit home to me. This is a problem for every Christian. For every Christian, it's your problem too. Don't think that as you get older, that sin will not have the influence upon you that it did when you were young. I can tell you, it still has an influence on whatever age you are. It's not true that as you get older, there's less sin in your life. Sin will never give up on any of us. A part of it. We were born with it. We lived with it all of our life. Right up to this point in your life, you have lived with sin. The problem for the Christian, unless a Christian is fully surrendered to the Holy Spirit, there's going to be something that's going to cause us to sin. It's just as strong as it used to be when I was younger. There's only two reasons as you get older that you are not involved in sin. Now, you're going to think maybe this is funny. You're either too tired or you're too weak because of the age. If you had the strength, if you had the energy, you would commit the sin because that's what the body wants to do. And age is not going to make any difference. I find that the older we get, the more tendency we have to nap. And when you're napping, you can't sin. That's why we don't get into as much trouble. I think about the Lord more than I did when I was younger. The things of the world are not quite as attractive to me as they used to be. Either that or I've accumulated more stuff than I know what to do with. Example, all my life I've enjoyed collecting guns. Guns of all kinds, of all calibers. Now that I have all the guns that I ever wanted, I don't have the energy or the time to do anything with them, like hunting or target practice. That doesn't mean that I won't force myself to go bear hunting in October. I will. Why, I will be gone in October. I plan to do that. But things don't have the attraction to me that they once did. And so that I find that I'm not as prone to sin as I was when I was younger. The sins today are just bigger and more evil. If I'm going to be involved in, eventually, I hope that I would be less likely to sin because I've learned that sin costs too much. It separates us from God and from friends. As people get older, friends are worth more, and God is worth everything. So how will we escape that trap called sin? Well, there are some things we can do, but they will not always be successful. For one thing, and it is really most important, we can pray. The Apostle Paul, who wrote about sin in the 7th chapter of Romans, also wrote about some other things. He told us some of the things we can do to avoid sin. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, what he told us works if we can just concentrate on what he said. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 15 through 23 is not that long a passage. Let me read it for you. Paul starts off in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 15 through 23. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, command. Pray without ceasing, another command. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, another command. Quench not the Spirit, another command. Despise not prophesying, another command. Prove all things, means test all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, set you aside. And I pray, God, for your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, the same man that just complained about doing the things he did not want to do and not doing the things he wanted to do just wrote those commands as well as to himself. I find it amazing just how simple a 2 or 3 word instruction, how simple it is that it can keep us from sin. The problem that I have is that after I've sinned, I wonder why I didn't do what Paul told the Thessalonians to do. It should be simple. But sometimes my body's passions and appetites overcome my spirit, and I yield to temptation. I hope none of you have that same problem. That's the point that I realize that I have 2 masters. One I love, and he loves me, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's another master, and that's the flesh that I live in. What does God say about 2 masters? Either we will love the one and despise the other. He's right. That's the point that I realize I do have 2 masters, and I do despise the one, and I do love the other, and I hope you do the same thing. I despise my body and the way that it compromises me into sin, and I love God for all the ways that he cares for my soul. I hope you do too. I call out, as Paul did when he came to the point of disgusting sin, the way that the Holy Spirit led him to do. That again is recorded in Romans chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Very important verses. This is where Paul is calling out. And sometimes you may call out the same way, with almost the same words. And Paul calls out in Romans 7, 24 and 25. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. My heart or soul wants to serve just God. But I find that my body has a strong desire, multiple desires, that draw me into sin unless I'm doing something for my Lord. I've spent a lot of time lately seeking to know and understand the direction that the Lord wants me to move. Things are changing, and I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do in the various situations. Do you find that things are changing in your life? And that you are not sure of what you're supposed to do? Well, it may take some discipline. But if you're not sure of what you're supposed to do, get on your knee. And if you can't get on your knees, sit down in a chair somewhere where you're by yourself. Don't take your cell phone. Don't take anything. Get by yourself between you and the Lord and talk to Him. He will be wherever you are. The scriptures tell us that we are to pray without ceasing. And it is at the times I cease praying that I tend to get into sin. Normal distractions of life tend to draw us away from the things of the Lord. You may be able to come to some conclusions that will help you determine what God wants from you and when He wants the changes to take place. Let me give you a verse that helped me come to a place where I believe that I know and understand what God wants from me. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you and I don't put God's things first, ahead of our plans for life, ahead of our emotional desires, ahead of our ambition, ahead of ourselves, and if we truly seek to make God's kingdom our first priority, then God is going to show us what He wants. The real problem is that we may not want what God wants. If you really love God and really desire to please Him, then you will abandon your future and yield the rest of your life to Him. That was what we're supposed to do when we trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, when we asked Him to come into our heart and take away our sin. We were supposed to yield our life to Him. For a moment, we may have done that. But then we started making our own decisions again. When we do that, we get off the plan that God has for us. We try and stay close to the Lord, but life in the world has a way of pulling us off course. It's my prayer that we all get closer to God and that we all stay in the middle of His will for each of us. Father, we come to You because we need You. We come to You, Father, because we are plagued with sins of the flesh. And as the Apostle Paul called out, "O wretched man, who can deliver me?" Father, we know this morning You can deliver if we will permit You to do so. Thank You, Father, that we can turn to You for the strength we need, for the guidance we need. And Father, help each one of us to stay in the middle of Your plan for us. May Your will be done in each of our lives. And may we glorify You with the things that we do, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.